97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. Good Monday morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark. That's Kim St. Ange down there. Carl Middleman sitting just across from me here. And the one and only Sue Thomas will be in with your traffic here shortly. Just stay tuned for that. Should be a pretty good morning. Should be a pretty good Monday morning, don't you think? No weather problems here. It is chilly outside. It's 51 degrees when I crawled in the truck this morning to drive down here. I had to grab my jacket out the door. And, of course, we need it in the studio at some point anyway, so that'll come in handy.
Yeah, I'm just thankful I'm not living in Florida right now, because not only are they dealing with the aftermath of Hurricane Helene, but now you hear Hurricane Milton. It could be, Category 3, they're thinking, by the time it makes landfall there. I guess they're predicting Wednesday, likely, near Tampa Bay.
I have to tell you, every time I go to Florida and I'm sitting on the beach with a cocktail in my hand and my toes in the sand, I think, and I almost quoted a Van Halen lyric there, Carl, I think to myself, this is pretty close to paradise. Wouldn't it be great to live here? And then every time they have a hurricane warning, I think there's a downside to living in paradise. I mean, I feel so sorry for those people that they're about to get hammered again by this. And it's the storm surge as much as anything. I see where Anna Maria Island, where Michelle and I visited last 2 years ago for the very first time, gorgeous, idyllic, sits, north of the Tampa area there, up closer to the panhandle. But now they're under warning, and the whole coast could be affected by this coming up the Gulf side. I feel so sorry for folks, and hopefully they are preparing adequately. I mean, it wiped out Fort Myers Beach. I've never seen anything like that in my life.
Really? You hear that almost entire towns, specifically in North Carolina, have been pretty much wiped out.
Well, and there's the other story here is I don't know what Ron DeSantis can do about it, because I think he's a great governor, but the cost of insurance, yep, in that state because of these storms, it's not that there are more storms, and it's not that there were storms. These have been there were much worse hurricanes apparently back in the 1950s and 60s. But the cost of everything has gone up so much that the replacement cost is outrageous. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much longer some of these insurance companies are going to be able to afford to stay in Florida.
I know. I don't know what the solution is, which is why I'm not in politics, because I have no clue how you would go about that. But there has to be some sort of an agreement so that these flood insurance companies are able to, the insurance companies, I should say, can afford to stay in business there, and that people can actually afford to have the insurance.
Imagine having a $1 million beach house, nothing fancy, and even not on the beach in Fort Myers Beach. You could be back from the beach a little bit. Inland, on the island, and having to pay a $70,000 a year insurance premium, because that's what they're charging now. 7% of the value of the home is what they want you to pay for insurance.
It's wild.
It's crazy. And not very many people can afford to do that. So it's going to limit people's access to it for sure. Lots to get to today. Of course, it is the 1 year anniversary of the terrorist attacks on Israel. And I'm going to argue to you that not much has changed in that 12 months. You still, and I'll go into this a little bit more later, but you still have a situation where many, many, many political leaders in the United States, including ones that currently occupy the White House and the Naval Observatory, do not have the back of Israel. 12 months after their 9/11, here we are. So we're going to talk more about that today with a local rabbi who's still seeing a lot of anti-Semitism and hate. And we had Nazi protesters out this past weekend.
Yep.
Saw pictures of it on Facebook. So you know it's still out there, and there's just no excuse for that whatsoever. Hans von Spakovsky coming up a little later. We got Jesse Jane Duff. I'm sure she'll have a thing or two to say about Elon Musk jumping up and down on the stage up there in Butler, Pennsylvania. That was a sight to see for sure. And Tom Ackerman on what was very likely one of the strangest weekends in memory in college football.
Upsets. Gosh, yeah.
I mean, I feel bad for Mizzou because they got their bell rung by Texas A&M. But wow, down the list, Alabama, Tennessee.
Vanderbilt, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Vandy.
Vandy crushed Alabama. And then
I don't know if crushed is the word, but they beat them for the first time.
Well,
like
let me,
ever.
Like, yeah, that's true. Rephrase that. And then, wow, did the city celebrate. Did you see what those students did?
Oh, I saw them carrying the goalpost down the street. I saw that video.
For
did
3 miles.
It? Yeah.
3 miles. And then dumped it into the river.
Did they really?
They did.
I didn't think Nashville was that big.
It's pretty big.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. Anyway, we'll talk more about all that for you coming up. Carl, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
So what our opponents have never understood is that this movement has never been about me. It's always been about you. It's been about a lot of people, millions and millions of people.
Yeah, that is President Trump. He went back to the scene of the first attempted assassination on him. And the crowd was unbelievable that he drew there. It looked like an Alabama football game. It looked like there were 100,000 people. I'm sure there weren't that many. What a rally he had this weekend.
Today we got 32 days until the election. So 32 days.
Kamala Harris's teleprompter went out in the middle of a speech, and she froze. She repeated the same phrase over and over and over again until the teleprompter finally came back on. This is an empty vessel, ladies and gentlemen.
You signed the bill that makes it legal through all 9 months. Is that a position you think Democrats should advocate for nationally?
The Vice President and I have been clear the restoration of Roe versus Wade is what we're asking.
Can we get a round of applause for one Shannon Bream, who is a regular guest on this program? Thank you. Shannon Bream did on Sunday morning what the debate moderators refused to do during the vice presidential debate, which is fact check Tim Walz on so many issues, including abortion. I loved it.
Governor Walz, you claimed you were in Hong Kong during the 1989 Tiananmen Square massacre when you were home in Minnesota. Can you explain that?
So I think what happened is I went to Epcot.
Is that SNL?
It was Saturday Night Live. They probably hit another one out of the park this weekend.
They are making a comeback. Maybe it's too soon to say that, but I watched some skits last night. I've not thought SNL was funny in years. I've not watched it.
And why?
Well, first of all, they were missing obvious jokes. Like, they wouldn't take hits against any of the Democratic political figures because surely that would go against their narrative that they want to spread. But, wow, I was laughing out loud last night watching some of these clips.
You nailed it. They weren't funny because they were so biased and they would avoid obvious skits that might have, you know, somehow pilloried or hurt the Democrats. They just wouldn't do it. And finally, they've got Maya Rudolph up there cackling like Kamala and Dana Carvey coming back like Joe Biden. And I laughed out. I haven't laughed at Saturday Night Live in years. And they're finally pointing out what the rest of us have been talking about for, I don't know, 3.5 years now. It was pretty funny stuff. Listen to this one. So it's got Maya Rudolph and the guy playing Doug Emhoff.
Andy Samberg.
Was it Andy Samberg?
Mm-hmm.
Sitting on the couch, supposedly watching the debate. Kamala's got a glass of wine in her hand. Go to cut 16.
Okay, he's out there. He's doing his thing, whatever that may be.
Come on, just relax. You know, you haven't had a night off in 3 months. Do you want to watch something less stressful like the Menendez Brothers show?
I don't know, Dougie. I kind of wish I had picked Josh right now.
Oh, Josh Shapiro?
No, Josh. Cabernet.
Look, Tim will be fine. It's not like he's going to say something crazy.
I've become friends with school shooters.
At which point, she crushes her wine glass in her hand.
I love that one.
It was pretty funny. And then they went on to include the one you heard a second ago about his trip to China. Go to cut 17, Carl, please.
Governor Walz, you claimed you were in Hong Kong during the 1989 Tiananmen Square massacre when you were home in Minnesota. Can you explain that?
So I think what happened is I went to Epcot. You can go around. around the whole world, and I had a couple in the Germany section, and I thought I went to China. Anyway, I'm a knucklehead.
Good.
That guy has got his mannerisms and everything down perfectly. That was pretty funny stuff. I wish they would get back to more of that. Maybe they will.
They had one of their highest ratings in years when they did. Was it Trump and Kamala that they were impersonating? And I think how do you not continue on that path if you got such high ratings when you did that?
Carl's over here trying to get us up live on Rumble and X this morning. Carl, is Lorne Michaels still around or is he retired?
Yes,
he's still there. Yeah. I was kind of thinking maybe he had left and that's the reason it got funny again. Because that guy is a hard lefty, and he's the one I'm sure that's influenced a lot of not only their whatever guests they choose to bring in to fill in, but some of the nature of some of the skits. I'm surprised they've gotten funny again under that guy. I think his ship has sailed, no doubt about it. All right, Carl, what are we doing for the national anthem this morning?
Well, Mark, see, I think we're going to do St. Louis University today. With our friend Frank Ladd, because he sent me something yesterday that I thought was funny, and so therefore I'm going to reward him.
The SLU band,
right? The SLU pep band.
Nice. Hit it.
Catch anything you missed today by getting the show podcast at 971talk.com. Now, Mark Cox Soapbox.
All right, 12 months ago, there was a horrific terrorist attack on October 7th on the Jewish people in Israel. And today we face the unfortunate fact that in 12 months, very little has changed for Israel. The same hate, the same anti-Semitic forces that tried to force Israel's hand for years into some sort of fake peace agreement with these terrorists in Gaza are still at it today. You know who you are. You know who they are. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are at the very top of that list. One of them wants to be the next president of the United States. The other one thinks he still is. And for sure, there are a few thousand fewer terrorists today than there were 12 months ago. Hats off to the IDF and the Mossad for stamping out a portion of the problem. But it's like stomping on an anthill. They keep coming. And the fact that there are going to be bigger protests today in support of Hamas and the Palestinians than there will be in support of Israel is the shocking truth we have to face. Every time Kamala Harris or Tim Walz goes on TV, he did it again yesterday, they claim they strongly support Israel's ability to defend itself. But they also worry about the Palestinian people. That is a signal to Hamas that they're welcome to continue their murdering ways. Did you see the picture this weekend? I mentioned it to Kim earlier, of the Nazi supporter standing on the overpass out there at I-64 and Mason Road. It was despicable. They're Nazis. The same group of people that murdered 6 million Jews during World War II. It's disgusting. But a lot of the people on social media who were condemning it, condemned it because they held a sign that said white power. They were strangely silent on the thousands of students on campuses across the country that held up signs in support of the Palestine. Where the hell were you then? The anti-Semitism there is identical. And here's my hope for Israel. They need to wipe these worthless terrorists off the face of the earth until there's not another one standing in Hamas or Hezbollah, possibly Iran, if they continue to press their luck. You cannot negotiate with these terrorists, right? It simply encourages them. Why are we putting up with this stuff, right? Just a reminder, if this had happened on U.S. soil, this is their 9/11, It would have been the equivalent of 40,000 dead Americans. Think about that. Being shot or burned to death or raped or murdered. 40,000. And yet today we look at the headlines, and for the people in Israel, for Benjamin Netanyahu, not a hell of a lot has changed. He still faces the same calls for a two-state solution. Let me get you back to my previous point. You cannot negotiate with terrorists. I say a prayer constantly for those hostages that remain, but the minute you negotiate with them, they get exactly what they want. They need to be killed, and that's the only solution to this problem, because they want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. So I would ask you today, one day out from that horrible terrorist attack, say a prayer for our Jewish brothers and sisters today. And for God's sake, vote for an administration in November that will have Israel's back.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Kim on a whim.
Kim on a whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
These days, you know, Mark, you can identify as anything you want. If I want to be a lobster, then I should, my gosh, be able to identify as a lobster. If I want to identify as a 6'7" dude, then who are you to tell me I'm not that, right?
I absolutely agree. I think you should try out for the NBA.
Well, I think so. And it would be discriminatory if they didn't allow me because I'm actually 5'4", because I identify as 6'7". How dare you? You're going to respect whatever I dream up in my mind, just like Kamala Harris says.
Yes.
I have goals and aspirations, okay? I dream big, and I dream of being a 6'7" tall dude, right? And playing in the NBA.
All right.
Okay.
You should not be burdened by what has been.
I try not to be, but it's hard, you know? I take my advice from Kamala Harris sometimes. Well, I'm really starting to think I might identify as an illegal alien because they are living it up. Turning Point USA, TPUSA, as you probably often hear it referred to as, went out and did this investigation in this town called Brunswick, Maine, okay? And this is where a lot of illegals are now housed, living on the taxpayer dollar. And she was curious, this particular reporter, Savannah, wanted to know the living conditions of these illegal aliens. Take a listen to this.
The migrants shared with us that they come furnished, so they have a flat screen TV in there, couches, tables and chairs, a bed. We also asked them as well, hey, are you paying utilities here? They shared with us that nope, they do not have a water bill, they do not have an electricity bill.
And what about the light and the water?
Everything is good. We don't pay anything.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Are you kidding me? Now, are these people, had they gone through the Customs and Border Patrol app and been deemed with a magic wand to be U.S. citizens or here legally, I should say? Or are they really illegals who are just being housed?
Yeah, I don't know that answer because I know that's certainly happening in Ohio, right?
Not that I see a difference. Don't misunderstand me, but I'm wondering how the media plays this. Well, you know, they've been granted temporary okay status, and that's why it's okay that they're put up in these. And we've got veterans living on the streets who can't pay their bills.
Amen.
I
wholeheartedly agree. This particular apartment building was initially meant to help with the housing crisis going on in Maine right now. Just if you're curious, let's just say you, Mark Cox, as an actual American citizen who pays taxes and all the other things.
Yes, I do.
If you wanted to move to Brunswick, Maine and live in this specific apartment complex, it would cost you approximately $1,800 for a one-bedroom apartment. Or if you'd like a two-bedroom, you better be willing to cough up $2,300. That's where it starts.
That sounds like one cardinal way, doesn't it, Carl?
Keep in mind, Mark, yep. You would also have to pay utilities, so it's not even the same because and you'd probably have to furnish it, I would imagine, but their apartments, according to this reporter from TPUSA, the illegals are telling her, as you just heard in that report, they're coming fully furnished. And I know you're only hearing it, but let me tell you, as someone who's watched the video and seen how nice these apartments are, you'd like to live there. I mean, they are not like some, you know, gross couch that you found in an alley. I mean,
yeah,
these
that
are
they loaded up.
These
yeah.
are very mm-hmm. nice pieces of furniture, a nice flat screen TV. Then you hear that I heard as I'm driving into work this morning, I hear on the Gordon Deal show that FEMA has set up on its website like a conspiracy theory or like rumor type.
Make it stop.
Setup where you can go and read all the rumors and then read the facts about it, okay? And one of the facts that FEMA wants to point out, according to FEMA, is that no, we haven't spent any money on illegal immigration using our funds. Lies. Lies. Karine Jean-Pierre back in 2022
admitted it.
Okay. And this is the rumor they're pointing out. Funding for FEMA disaster response was diverted to support international efforts or border related issues. Here's their fact. This is false. No money's being diverted. I'm sorry. I have to read it that way.
Please
just for
read it
extra
that way.
Drama, you know,
yeah, with a little
false.
Snarl.
I feel like Dwight Schrute from The Office. False. No money is being diverted for disaster response needs. FEMA's disaster response efforts and individual assistance is funded through the Disaster Relief Fund, which is dedicated funds for disaster efforts. Disaster Relief Fund money has not been diverted to other non-disaster related efforts. Does anybody believe that?
No.
You have, was it Alejandro Mayorkas just not that long ago coming out and saying, we don't have enough money to basically pay for any more disasters or probably even all the money that's needed for the aftermath of Hurricane Helene because it's been so devastating. Then you have somebody who works with him trying to do damage control. So basically she's claiming her boss is a liar and saying, no, we have enough money. This is not it.
It's media malpractice again, running interference for the Democrats. I suggest, Kim, not to hijack Kim on a whim, that we play the Karine Jean-Pierre bite where she admitted this back in 2022. Go to cut number 7 there, Carl, please.
As we've done many times in response to repeated attempts by these Republican officials to create chaos and confusion at the border, we are working to manage the consequences of including this latest political charade that we're seeing. So FEMA regional administrators have been meeting with city officials on site to coordinate available federal support from FEMA and other federal agencies. Funding is also available through FEMA's emergency food and shelter program to eligible local governments and non-for-profit organizations upon request to support humanitarian relief for migrants. We'll continue to do what we can as a federal government to support these cities as we rebuild our asylum processing system after it was gutted by the Trump administration.
I have an idea for the next press briefing with KJP, okay, maybe today.
Can somebody
right?
play that?
Please, any reporter, I know all the network news reporters listen to this show, right? Big fans. Please play that clip for our girl, Karine Jean-Pierre, and just say, any thoughts? That's it. You don't have to ask really a question. And what do you think?
Well, those are two different funds, is what she'll say. And that was 2 years ago. That doesn't reflect the current budget because 2 years ago we had shenanigans by Republican governors in the South who were shipping these poor migrants up north onto the northern cities in the blue states. And we had to provide temporary housing. So, yes, that's what the Federal Emergency Management Agency does. What they did was, just to be clear, this is where they're the ones lying. They declared what was going on at the border an emergency. So they needed the Federal Emergency Management Agency to step in and provide this relief. If you're dumb enough to think they're not still doing that, I've got a nice piece of swampland in Florida I'd like to sell you.
Yeah.
Of course they are.
No, absolutely. In fact, this TPUSA reporter points out that one of the reasons that she focused on Brunswick, Maine, this town, is because the county it's in, Cumberland County, has received millions of dollars in FEMA funding for this very reason, illegals. Because they were housing them.
Yes.
Right. I mean, you have to, where is that money coming from? They're not working, so they have to be able to pay for their bills and pay for, are they getting money for their groceries?
This angers me so much. You've got people, and I've got friends of friends who have relatives down there. I've been reading their social media posts. They've gotten zero help so far from FEMA. They want you to stop the misinformation that the government's not doing its job. the government is not doing its job. Most of the relief they've had are from private citizens who are volunteering, like the ones over here that left from the St. Louis area Friday to drive water down to Tennessee. And they didn't go in themselves. They handed it off to a church down there to let the church carry it over to the people that needed it.
Yep. I mean, you want to talk about tone deaf and not putting America first. And if anything, you could arguably say putting America last. Kamala Harris has the audacity to put out a tweet. Let's see, it was the 5th. Today is the 7th. So this would have been on Saturday evening, talking about the people of Lebanon and how they're facing an increasingly dire humanitarian situation. And she's aware of the suffering that's going on there. And she's going to continue working to help meet the needs of all the civilians there.
In Lebanon.
Yes.
She's tone deaf. You've got Americans that don't have electricity or water or food.
Yep. No, but Mark, come on, stop being negative. She's giving them $750. Think about how much that can buy. With inflation under their administration that they caused, you could buy, like, I don't know, a few dozen eggs, right? You're not going to be able to get much.
I don't think Trump backs off a bit. He needs to keep giving them hell.
Yeah.
And just like we got the bite from Nancy Pelosi, Tom Cotton, they played it yesterday during an interview with Tom Cotton. Nancy Pelosi praised the president for using FEMA resources to help the migrants at the border. Back in 2021, I think it was.
It's disgusting. By the way, if you've not yet seen the interview between Dave Ramsey and Donald Trump, highly recommend you watch it. I think it was like 25 minutes. It's not very long. And Ramsey points out that he invited Kamala Harris on the show as well. And let's all be real. She's never going to do that. And Trump actually says that. He's like, she won't come on your show because she doesn't even really know what she's talking about. She would never be able to ask, in my opinion, direct questions about her economic plan because it's not her plan. I don't think she really knows what the solution is. She's going off of what other people are telling her, and then she's trying her best to regurgitate that. But really, it's just coming out as we all have hopes and dreams, and we want to be unburdened by what has been. That's why you hear it's word sad. Salad, because it's not her plan. She doesn't have a plan.
Well, she doesn't have a plan because she grew up in a middle-class family.
But she did? What?
I've heard that rumor.
I've never heard her say that.
That could have something to do with it.
That is brand new information.
I will, in fact, I will play you that Nancy Pelosi bite from 2021 when we come back, talking about exactly what they're now denying, just in case you're accused of spreading disinformation today. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
This is a humanitarian challenge to all of us. What the administration has inherited is a broken system at the border, and they are working to correct that in the children's interest. I'm so pleased that the president, as a temporary measure, has sent FEMA to the border in order to help facilitate the children going from one 72-hour issue into where they are cared for as they are transferred into family homes or homes that are safe for them to be. So this, again, is a transition for what was wrong before to what is right.
Senator, she was not the only one singing the same tune yesterday. Inheriting a broken system is what they say.
The Biden administration is sending FEMA to the border. They are, by their own declaration, admitting it's a disaster. That's what it is when you deploy FEMA, a disaster. But remember, they're not deploying FEMA to secure the border, to try to finish the wall, or to stop those migrants from crossing. They're deploying FEMA to expedite them, to wave them in even faster and give them a bus ticket and a plane ticket and send them wherever they want to go in the United States. That is the Biden border crisis.
Yeah. That was 2021. 2021. Tom Cotton commenting on Nancy Pelosi's admission that the president was using FEMA at the southern border. When you read all of the stories today about disinformation, I listened to it on the Gordon Deal show this morning, just like Kim. Officials are trying to stop the disinformation. Don't listen to them. They're lying about FEMA money being misused. FEMA money has been misused for 4 years now. And it's been misused by the Biden administration. How many millions, tens of millions of dollars that could be available for the people who are victims of Hurricane Helene have been wasted on non-U.S. citizens? How many? That drives me crazy. when I hear this garbage. And it's like the Democratic Party just sent out the talking points. And this is all everyone's talking about this morning on the mainstream media. We need to stop the misinformation. Government good. Don't listen to Donald Trump. Donald Trump bad. Government good. Well, what did Ronald Reagan say the scariest words were? I'm from the government. I'm here to help. The people in South Carolina know that to be the truth. So,
in this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Reagan. We appreciate that. Always sends a chill down my spine to hear Ronald Reagan.
Well, now if you say something like that, you're just viewed as a conspiracy theorist who's against the government and all kinds
it's
of other
never
words.
Too early
well,
to
there you
learn
go.
That the government is a greedy piglet that suckles on a taxpayer's teat until they have sore chapped nipples.
It's true.
I agree with Ron Swanson. I don't agree with Nick Offerman.
No,
I do agree with Ron Swanson.
Nick Offerman is a left-wing whack job, but his character Ron Swanson was fantastic and spoke a lot of truths.
I just really
like that one.
I think I've said this before, but I picture Nick Offerman in the mirror rehearsing his lines and being like, you can say it, you can do it, because he probably had to like choke him out because
enough,
it just hurt him so bad to say things that were at all conservative leaning.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, Carl Middleman, thank you, and thank your friend Tom.
You're welcome.
For inviting me out Saturday night to your Elks Club.
The
that
Manchester
was fantastic.
Elks Lodge. We had a good time.
We had a great time. We had they cooked out. It was a fundraiser. Obviously, they're raising money for charity, and they cooked out. They had hamburgers and hot dogs and delicious onion rings. Carl, who made those delicious onion rings?
Why, it was me.
He did.
You or your wife, Nicole?
No, I did it because I don't eat onion rings, and so therefore I was the perfect person to make
Carl,
them.
What the better question is, what do you eat?
Meat and potatoes.
And fruit.
Fish. Yeah,
but
not vegetables.
But Carl slaved over the 350-degree boiling grease for the better part of an hour and a half making onion rings.
Is that why you're missing part of your eyebrow today?
Well, the funny thing was, at the end of the evening, like around 10:30 when I was getting ready to leave, you still smell like onion rings.
Yeah. Guess what?
Yeah, I had to change clothes or else I would still smell like them now.
We had but then we followed after everybody got their bellies full, then we started having bourbon tasting and a bunch of great bourbons we got to try, some that had been in wine casks and sherry casks, and I wasn't a big fan of those, but the good ones came out at the end. The Wellers, the Eagle Rares,
and now we have the better desk bourbon.
Yes,
you guys went bourbon tasting, and I went apple picking.
We inherited that.
Different lives we live.
Did you have some apple cider when you were there?
No, when we got home, we did, though. I brought some. Yeah.
Nice.
It was good. It was great weather. Well, it was a little hot, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, go to
Millstatt.
Nice. Nice. Did you find the winery I told you about up there?
No.
Oh, come on. All right. That may be the one in Grafton.
I think it is Grafton. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Coming up, we'll get to Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation. Stick around.
Get more at 971talk.com.